It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios today. Sandy on her way to inaugural events in Washington, D.C., just like thousands of other Americans. She'll be joining us on Friday here in the program again. And, of course, she'll be back tomorrow, too. But exciting times. We are now 52 hours away from President-elect Donald Trump being sworn into office. 52 hours, but who's counting, right? A lot of Republicans are. But I'll tell you what, the outgoing president, Barack Obama, is doing everything that he can to wreak havoc. Late yesterday, announcing clemency for more than 273 people convicted of various crimes. Probably the most high profile of those is basically letting Bradley Manning out of prison, 30 years early? Now, Bradley Manning, you'll probably see, if you listen to the mainstream media, he goes by Chelsea Manning, decided he wanted to be a woman, or at least pretend to be a woman back there a few years ago. He is the Army soldier who was convicted by a military court of leaking more than 700,000 U.S. documents, jeopardizing, among other things, some of the people that the United States government depends upon to give us information on governments who are not friendly to us. He handed those over to WikiLeaks. So he's convicted and he's sentenced to 35 years. Barack Obama yesterday saying, you know what? Really not that bad to do that. You know, it used to be called, folks, treason. And some people are still saying what he did is treason. But we've watered everything down so much. And it used to be if you convicted of treason, you know what happened to you? You were executed. But in Obama world and the world of political correctness that we have entered into, that behavior being rewarded. Spends 4 or 5 years. Oh, we're going to let you out. Go about your life. Who cares? Let you go. 700,000 U.S. documents he gave to WikiLeaks. Now, that's kind of interesting in itself. Remember the Obama administration, the Hillary Clinton camp, they're all upset. They say the Russians and WikiLeaks got together, had some influence in releasing Hillary's emails. They're all upset with WikiLeaks about that and the Russians. But here's Bradley Manning gives 700,000 U.S. documents, military documents to WikiLeaks. He's okay. Let him go. And folks, there are more commutations to come. Reading from the Associated Press, Obama became the president to have granted more commutations than any other when he announced Tuesday that Manning will be freed in May, almost 30 years ahead of schedule. And the White House said yesterday, there are more pardons, more commutations coming today and tomorrow. And President Barack Obama can do that by law. It's legal. And President-elect Donald Trump, when he comes president, cannot reverse those. That's the way it works. But Obama, he's king of letting all these people. Now, another one that was pardoned yesterday is identified as Puerto Rican nationalist Oscar Lopez Rivera, serving a 55-year sentence. And what did he do? He was sentenced to 55 years in prison for his role in a violent struggle for independence for the U.S. island territory. Lopez had belonged to the ultra-nationalist Armed Forces of National Liberation, which has claimed responsibility for more than 100 bombings at public and commercial buildings in U.S. cities during the 1970s and 80s. Obama lets him go yesterday. And as I say, there's more coming. What does this say? What does this say about Barack Obama? Letting free, let's go back to the Bradley Manning case. Letting free someone who willingly, deliberately, handed over 700,000 U.S. documents, military documents, jeopardizing our national security. And Obama says, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. Let him go. That's kind of chilling. It really is, folks. It's kind of chilling. He's undergoing Obama for this decision. Even some Democrats are criticizing him this morning for what has done because they understand the gravity of this. Many Republicans, of course, but also Democrats, because they see this as setting a precedent that perhaps other military people who are not friendly to the government, they happen to be in the military, but they're upset about something. Hey, I'll give some documents away, serve a few years, and then I'm out too. What a dangerous, dangerous precedent. And what does it say about President Barack Obama that he doesn't have a problem? It's not just handing over some documents, as I say. This is jeopardizing the safety. And also because of this, as I mentioned before, these people that the United States government depends upon living in countries that are not friendly to us, this puts them their safety in jeopardy. And maybe because of this, they're not going to be so willing to give us information that would protect us in the name of our national security. This is highly irresponsible, but perhaps we shouldn't expect any more. And by the way, just to be thrown in with all of these 273 people who received clemency yesterday, just yesterday, the number now is 1,400, something like that. And as I say, the White House says more to come. This is a president that is setting records in all the wrong areas. And he is going to continue to wreak havoc for at least the next 52 hours. All right. Hearings continue on President-elect Trump's nominees for various departments. Yesterday, it was Betsy DeVos, who is his pick for health, education, and pardon me, it's the Health, Education, and Pensions Committee. That she is his nominee for education secretary. But it was the hearing yesterday. It's actually last night. Senate Health, Education, and Pensions Committee. Ready for questions for her. And all day yesterday, they were in lead-up stories to all of this. Now, Democrats, I'm not sure if there's any nominee that President-elect Trump has put forward that they like. But they had their crosshairs for Betsy DeVos well in advance. What's the reason for that? Basically, one, she favors school choice. She favors charter schools. She favors vouchers. And here's one that's going to rock your socks. How about this for unorthodox in the day and age in which we live? She is of the point of view that parents ought to have the final say in how their kids are educated, not the teachers' union. Of course, she's being painted as being anti-public schools, and she has said from the get-go, and she repeated it during the hearings last night, that is not true. She is all for public schools that are doing the job. But we know across this country, particularly in many inner-city areas, large metropolitan areas, schools are failing. You may remember the case in Washington, D.C., which has a large population of African-American parents there, wanted vouchers so they could get their kids out of failing public schools there. They wanted the ability to send their kids to good private schools. just like President Barack Obama does with his kids in Washington, D.C. But President Barack Obama and his friends in the teachers union said, no, we're going to make you keep your kids in those failing public schools. Unbelievable. Well, one interesting exchange in this hearing yesterday was with a name you're familiar with, Bernie Sanders. And he took on Betsy DeVos on the issue of, free education, free public college education. That was one of his themes during the election campaign. Let's have a listen to that exchange.
Some of us believe that we should make public colleges and universities tuition free so that every young person in this country, regardless of income, does have that option. That's not the case today. Will you work with me and others to make public colleges and universities tuition-free through federal and state efforts?
Senator, I think that's a really interesting idea, and it's really great to consider and think about. But I think we also have to consider the fact that there's nothing in life that's truly free. Somebody's going to pay for it.
Yes, you're right. And you're right. Somebody will pay for it, but that takes us to another issue. And that is, right now we have proposals in front of us to substantially lower tax breaks for billionaires in this country, while at the same time low-income kids can't afford to go to college. Do you think that makes sense?
Senator, I think if your question is really around how can we help college and higher education be more affordable for young people as they anticipate.
Actually, that wasn't my question. My question is, should we make public colleges and universities tuition-free so that every family in America, regardless of income, will have the ability to have their kids get a higher education? That was my question.
Senator, I think we can work together, and we could work hard on making sure that college or higher education in some form is affordable for all young people that want to pursue it.
There you have it. You know, the interesting point in that exchange is the acknowledgement that nothing is free in this life. And of course, Bernie Sanders goes back to that crutch that, gee, we have billionaires in this country and they should be paying for it. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. And as others have come back and argued against this, at what point in their lives do these young people begin to understand that nothing is free? We now have, nothing is free. I mean, I was going to say, you know, we have public schools in this country and we don't charge tuition for public schools, but somebody does have to pay for it, folks. You know, just about every year, some local school district, they put out there, well, we're going to have to raise your taxes to pay for more funding for public schools. And now Bernie Sanders and some others would love to have, and their friends on the left, just make colleges free also. Who is going to pay for this? And Bernie Sanders saying that, you know, the few billionaires that are out there, they can pay for all of this. No, that won't be the case. And what about teaching these kids that you do have to pay your way at some point? Now, I think Betsy DeVos, with the majority that the Republicans have, like others, like some of these other nominees, and the voting on those probably will begin today because they have to be in place. But she'll get by. But it's these hearings have been great demonstrations on the priorities of the left versus the common sense of those who are on the right, who are conservatives, who are realistic about life. Ain't nothing free. And yes, that's bad grammar. There is nothing free, folks. Somebody has to pay. But on the left, they just want to continue punishing those who have been successful in business. And as I say, what about teaching our kids the idea that you have to work hard? And if you do, maybe you get a scholarship. All right, much more ahead. A campaign to wreak havoc in Washington, D.C. over the next few days. We'll be talking about that and going to Washington to get an assessment with the eyes there. More on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in. We're back in a minute.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hey, this is Brandon and Dina from Viridia.
Addiction touches everyone. Each of us probably knows someone who struggles with substance abuse, but there is a way out.
Hi, my name is Brian. I was hooked on drugs for 11 years. It just consumed my everyday life, so it was stressful and tiring. I had a really supporting family as I grew up, and you could see in their eyes that I was really hurting them. I learned about Teen Challenge. Now that I've been here, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I love to worship, I love to sing, and it's totally changed my life.
Teen Challenge can help you or someone you know, whether a teen or an adult, end an addiction to drugs or alcohol. No matter how hopeless things may seem, there's always a way out through Jesus Christ.
You can call Teen Challenge toll-free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit them online at teenchallengeusa.com. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Universities across the nation are waging war on manly men, fighting what they call toxic masculinity. In other words, they're trying to turn red-blooded American dudes into ladies. And academia appears to be winning the war. Today's men are more likely to wear mantyhose and get facial peels and carry man bags. A few years ago, I conducted an unscientific poll to determine what the average woman looks for in a man. The poll results were not all that surprising. Ladies want a man who loves his family. They also want somebody who drives a pickup truck, eats meat, and will carry them out of a burning building if necessary. In other words, they want the kind of man made in God's image, not the image of some effeminate intellectual stuffed in skinny jeans sipping chai tea with his pinky finger extended. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy as she makes her way to Washington, D.C. for all the events going on there. I understand last night that President-elect Trump flew down to D.C. from New York. And I think there was a dinner for 200 foreign dignitaries, something of that nature. I'm not sure if he went back to New York. I was kind of wondering if that was going to be his last flight on that Trump airplane, because I guess once he becomes president, he won't be able to use that. He's got to fly. Gee, what a hardship on that Air Force One, and which is not a bad looking airplane, also inside and out. But that will be his plane. I was going to say of choice, but that's going to be his plane come noon on Friday. I guess after it gets back from flying the Obamas out to Palm Springs. That is, now they're going to be living in Washington, D.C., and it's been the habit, you know, the outgoing president gets a ride home, like George W. Bush. He went home to Texas and got a flight there, Reagan back out to California. But the Obamas, they're going to, even though they're going to be living in Washington, D.C., they wanted a little vacation. So they're going to get a ride out to Palm Springs, and they'll spend a few days out there, I guess. And they said they wanted to go somewhere warm. You really can't blame them for doing that in the winter weather. But must be nice to go on vacation, even after you're all through as president, and get a ride out to Palm Springs on Air Force One. Well, our next guest, I'm not sure if he's ever been on Air Force One for a ride, but he's certainly on the scene there in Washington, D.C., watching everything that's going on. It's our good friend Gary Bauer from Campaign for Working Families. Gary, welcome.
Well, thanks, Fred. Great to be with you. And yes, I've flown on Air Force One with Ronald Reagan. So
cool.
It was a fantastic plane way back then. I can only imagine the technological improvements and breakthroughs they've had since then.
Okay, how far did you go with them?
Well, a number of trips, but the one that really sticks out in my mind was a trip to Peoria, Illinois, where there's a real connection there with
right.
Ronald Reagan, and
mm-hmm.
It was just an amazing thing to see how a president comes into a city and brings with him all of this electronics and the capability of fighting a war if he had to from Peoria,
mm-hmm.
along with hundreds and hundreds of reporters, et cetera. And then he makes his speech, he does the other events, and then it all gets taken down, and we're back at the White House later that day.
Yeah, so cool. Well, that is certainly a wonderful memory. Now, you're right there. Now, you live not in the district, but near there, correct?
I'm about, we're about 12, 13 miles outside of Washington, D.C., and as soon as we're finished talking, we're going to be heading in, because there's going to be massive road closures all over the area today, beginning at noon. So there's what's so-called red zone downtown, where no cars or traffic will be allowed. So it's understandable given security issues, but it's also going to make things very difficult for people getting around.
Now, we hear reports that some people, they just do not like Donald Trump, and they're going to try to wreak havoc. And there was one report that came out yesterday, again, from James O'Keefe and Project Veritas. Those were the people involved, in case our listeners don't remember, with exposures about what goes on behind doors at Planned Parenthood. Well, they've done some more investigative work, and there are some people out there, I'd call them anarchist wannabes, I guess, who are planning some nasty things, and it's all been caught on tape. Tell us about it.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's a menagerie of far left-wing groups headed into Washington, D.C., and these tapes that were done show them planning to do all sorts of things to try to disable the metro system in Washington, which, of course, would be a very dangerous thing to do in the event of, God forbid, the event of some emergency or some life-threatening situation that would develop over the next couple of days. They've talked about attempting to stop the balls from taking place. One of the leaders said, look, let's be clear about this. Our goal is to make it impossible for Donald Trump to be sworn into office outside. We want him to be taken inside some room by himself because of the danger we're going to pose to him. And you said they don't much like Donald Trump. These are people, quite frankly, Fred, that don't much like America.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the same people that showed up at Trump rallies and beat people that went to those rallies. There's anarchist groups. These are not your typical 1960s leftists that would go limp in a demonstration. These people carry baseball bats, and they mean to hurt people.
Gary, where does this come from? I mean, there's always, been that tension, whoever wins the White House, Republican or Democrat, and people feel bad about it for a while. But, when it comes to Inauguration Day, it's, okay, let's celebrate the fact there's a peaceful transition going on here. It's a wonderful part about America. And over the years, Democrats, Republicans, regardless of which one gets the White House, it was a time of celebration. But now in America, you have these people who are bent on wreaking havoc. This just didn't happen yesterday. In your opinion, what's the genesis of all this?
Well, there's a lot of things going on, and there's probably a good book to be written out of all this. I mean, for you know, one development has been just growing nihilism. People that don't believe there's a God, don't believe in America except for a force of evil, who think that they've been ordained in some way to literally bring society down. And, you know, there's been periods of this in history before. There were there was a movement in the 1920s and 1930s of anarchists that did a number of bombings in the United States and wreaked havoc in a number of European countries. But look, as our society becomes less faith-based, as we become more and more secular and then radical secular, as a belief in God ebbs, and then if you look at the politics of it, you know, if you go back 30 or 40 years, there were differences between the two parties, but there was still fundamental agreement on things like the idea that America is good, that countries like Iran would be bad, then it would have been, you know, other nations, but we've recognized good and evil. Today, there's disagreement over virtually everything, and it's one of the reasons I think the American people will continue to be frustrated about the lack of bipartisanship, because how do you find middle ground if one side believes government is the problem and needs to be smaller, and the other side believes government is the only one that can do things and needs to be bigger? What's the compromise there? The middle ground either is going to grow government or it's going to shrink government, and you can go down the list on a whole list of economic issues, but then you get into things like, is, you know, what's the definition of a marriage? Is a baby an unborn child? Is that a human being or not? So when there's such divisions, each side sees an election as a tremendously horrific event if they lose it. Now, our side is nothing like these people. Nobody would have thought about showing up by the tens of thousands to literally stop Barack Obama from being confirmed or sworn into office. But that's what these people intend to try to do over the next 3 days.
Well, over the next 52 hours, we were just counting the hours up this morning here. I guess one of the things on President Barack Obama's agenda is to open up the jail cells and let as many people go free. Of course, the big news coming late yesterday was he has decided to allow Bradley Manning out of jail come May. The young soldier who was convicted basically of handing over 700,000 U.S. military documents to WikiLeaks, given 35-year sentence, but Barack Obama yesterday saying, no, I don't think this is a big deal at all. Let him go. And we're told that, that was one of 273 yesterday, and there's more to come. What do you read into this with regards to the worldview of President Barack Obama?
Well, I'm glad he's running out of days in office, because I'm running out of adjectives to describe what it is he's doing. I mean, the word that came to mind yesterday as I was trying to navigate the traffic in Washington and this news broke was shame.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a shameful act. This president and his allies, every day since the election, has been elevating the leaks out of the Democratic National Committee, basically of John Podesta, leaks that were sort of politically embarrassing, they were sort of gossipy, et cetera. Those leaks were elevated to a national emergency. Sanctions were put on Russia over those leaks. There's a whole political jihad going on, trying to argue that those leaks make the election of Donald Trump an invalid election. In this case, we're not talking about political tidbits or little embarrassing items of a Democrat operative. We're talking about national security documents of the United States. Some of these were later found on Osama bin Laden's computer. People were killed as a result of these leaks. And the President of the United States, who says that Donald Trump doesn't respect our intelligence community, just punched our intelligence community in the mouth. Something else jumped out at me, Fred. We have seen the head of the CIA in the 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it is since the election, regularly getting involved in the political debate in America in a way that's unprecedented, has critiqued Donald Trump, has said things about what Donald Trump does and doesn't know and what his foreign policy thing. I've never seen a CIA chief do this in all of my years in office. Yesterday, the head of the CIA, Mr. Brennan, was asked, what is your opinion on the president releasing this traitor? And Brennan suddenly figures out you're not supposed to be talking about stuff like, he says, no comment from the CIA.
Really?
The politicization of every branch of our government in the last 8 years, from the IRS, two elements of the intelligence community, has been breathtaking. And when Donald Trump and Mike Pence take office as president and vice president and bring with them 5,000, 6,000 men and women dedicated to correcting the situation, it is going to be a brutal battle, Fred, because I think they will be shocked what they find when they walk in the doors of the government bureaucracy.
Can they clean it up?
I think the jury's out. I know they're committed to cleaning it up. I know that whatever Donald Trump's critics think of him, this is not a man that goes gently into the night. He doesn't take no for an answer. He's not bound by any of the old rules many Republicans bound themselves with about what you could and couldn't do to fight back. He's going to fight back. So, and I know the commitment, the faith commitment of Mike Pence and what motivates his life, and I know many of the people coming into government. So I think they're committed to doing it, but the idea that it will be easy or that people like your loyal listeners and the people that listen to Sandy Rios have done their job by voting and now they can go back to their normal lives, that is a misguided notion. This is not going to work unless every person that voted the right way stays in the battle. In fact, Fred, I can even envision a couple of marches on Washington to support President Trump and Vice President Pence over the next couple of years.
Incredible times we live in. Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. I love your end of day report. It's a great insight into what happens in Washington each day. How can people get that?
Well, they can go to CWF, which is just the initials for Campaign for Working Families, and then it's a political action committee, and so those initials are PAC. So CWFPAC.com, and they can sign up for our end-of-day report.
Gary Bauer, we're so glad you're there, and I know you'll be one of those holding the Trump administration's feet to the fire, because it is going to be a battle that continues.
Thank you, Fred. Always great to be with you.
All right. Take care, Gary Bauer.
You too.
All right. There you have it. Exciting times in Washington, yes. A time of celebration over the next few days. There are thousands of Americans, maybe you're one of them listening today, that are heading there to celebrate. Security is going to be strong. A lot of people may be a little bit worried about, should I go? But you know, security is going to be, our military is going to be there, police officials. I think there's a 6-block area away from the Capitol building and around where the parade is going to be in the wake of the swearing in. And so security is going to be there. And I just hope that people stay safe, but also have a good time. This is a time to celebrate. It is this wonderful tradition in this wonderful country that we have a peaceful transition to power. There are some people that are going to try to interrupt it, but we need to be praying over the next few days for the safety of all involved there in Washington, D.C., and we'll be reporting on it. Your thoughts on all of this, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Want to hear from you now about Obama's decision on clemency, including for Bradley Manning, who gave away military secrets. Sentenced to 35 years in prison, Barack Obama says yesterday, I'm going to let him go. No big deal at all. Just absolutely amazing. And then we have this word of these anarchists that are planning to wreak havoc. Want to hear from you. 888-589-8840. We're back to you in just a few moments.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Police officers deserve our respect, honor, and our prayers. Every day they put their lives on the line to protect and to serve in an increasingly hostile climate. Yet currently hanging in the U.S. Capitol is a piece of art depicting police officers as pigs. This offensive painting was chosen by Democrat Congressman William Clay from Missouri as the winner of an art contest from his home district. Congressman Clay described this insulting depiction of police as, quote, the most creative expression that I've witnessed over the last 16 years, unquote. Call Congressman Clay and urge him to remove this reprehensible painting. It's not a question of censorship. It's a matter of respect for the police who risk their lives for our safety. Call the Capitol at 202-224-3121 and ask to speak with Congressman Clay. 202-224-3121. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
American Family Association began in 1977 as the National Federation for Decency. Founded by Don Wildman, our mission is to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church. American Family Association is one of the largest and most effective pro-family organizations in the country, and it's because of God's blessings and the generosity of people like you.
Nothing but truth. It's Crane Durham's Corner of the World, where hard-hitting questions are asked.
People are going to be looking for answers.
And he's heard here, only on American Family Radio.
America needs to be restored to our fundamental foundation, which benefit us all.
From economics and national security to life and marriage, you'll hear the top stories of the day. Experience nothing but truth for yourself. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you have partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. It's not exactly news that President Obama has engaged in repeated national security fraud. Still, his sheer brazenness in such misconduct with a last-minute commutation of sentence for the traitor once known as Bradley Manning is shocking. After all, wasn't it just a week or two ago that Mr. Obama and his partisan media echo chamber were decrying disclosures by people said to be associated with Russian-tied information operations like WikiLeaks? After 8 years of basically ignoring such cyber predations, he was actually moved to punish those he deemed responsible. But now, with just hours remaining in his presidency, Barack Obama has decided to reward another WikiLeaks source who had been sentenced to 35 years in prison for the immense damage Manning perpetrated not against Democratic Party operatives, but the country's security. The Obama legacy is one of serial betrayal. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back to Sandy Rios in the Morning on this Wednesday morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy as she makes her way to the inaugural events in Washington, D.C. We're counting down the hours to the time when President-elect Donald Trump will become President Trump. The swearing-in, noon Eastern time on Friday, 11 o'clock Central time. So we make it at less than, I guess, 52 hours now until that happens. But as we have been reporting this morning, President Barack Obama is not going to slip away quietly. And yesterday he made that point once again in announcing his pardon clemency for 273 more people. The number is now up over 1,000. As the Associated Press notes, becoming president to have granted more commutations than any other in history. And of course, the one that made big news late last night and this morning continues is the allowing Bradley Manning, who was sentenced to 35 years in prison by a military court for releasing more than 700,000 documents, jeopardizing people's lives, jeopardizing our national security. He's only served a few years of that sentence. Yesterday, President Barack Obama said, no big deal, we're going to let him go. And of course, Bradley, you may not recognize him as his name is Bradley because he decided a few years ago he wanted to be a woman, so changed his name to Chelsea. And don't doubt for a moment this whole transgender agenda of this administration had something to do with Bradley Manning being released early. Absolutely hypocritical, especially in connection with the Democrats crying foul over the last couple of weeks about the Russians through WikiLeaks being involved in affecting and having an effect on this election. It is to WikiLeaks that Bradley Manning released all these documents. So Barack Obama says no problem with that. Oh, but they're out there just with their fists in the air saying how terrible it was, maybe, that the Russians released this information to WikiLeaks. So I'd like to hear from you on this, 888-589-8840. Also yesterday, last evening to be exact, President-elect Donald Trump's nominee for Education Secretary Betsy DeVos underwent a grueling hearing. She did very well. We knew in advance she was going to face fire because, hold on to your seat, folks, she believes that parents ought to have the right to send their kids to the best schools possible to get their kids out of failing public schools. She's all for vouchers. She's for charter schools. Well, of course, the Democrats and their friends and the teachers' unions gone ballistic over that. Now, she's probably, because of the Republican majority, she's going to get a pass. But it was an interesting circus last night as she was taken on by these Democrats who just say the idea that parents should have the ability through vouchers, through being allowed to send their schools, their kids to schools, charter schools, is just a terrible thing. I heard somebody put it this way. You have to answer the question, what are schools about? Are they for the adults, the teachers' union? Or are they for the kids? That's the difference. Your thoughts on that? 888-589-8840. Let's go to our phones right now. Let's head to Texas first, and Pedro on the line. Pedro, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Your thoughts? Good.
If I may just divert a little from your theme, but I just want to make this comment. I choose to pray from this day forward for our new president. A new day is dawning. I choose to because I truly believe that he has just brought forth for a time like this by the Lord.
Amen.
And I choose to pray, and I invoke everyone else to just pray. A new day is dawning. This country will get back to right status because I truly believe this incoming president truly has a love of country, a love of country.
Pedro, so I think you're exactly right. And when you talk about prayer, and I appreciate your proposal so much, you know, a lot of people believe that because of the prayers that were offered in the couple of days leading up to the election, that had a major impact. Because remember what all the polls were saying, the pundits, that Donald Trump didn't have a prayer, that those big states like North Carolina and Ohio and Florida were all going to Hillary's camp? That all changed on election night. And I believe the prayers of so many people, there were churches that were holding prayer meetings, and that had a major impact. But for Pedro's suggestion there, and I think it's a wonderful thing, we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying for the safety of President-elect Donald Trump and his cabinet. We need to keep praying that God will give them wisdom and they will bow the knee to God's will and not be caught up in Washington politics, which has happened in other Republican administrations. They get there, they get elected, and things change. We need to keep those prayers up. Let's go to, I believe it is Duanas in Arkansas. Do I have that right?
No, we're close, but that's okay. Arkansas is right.
Arkansas. What's your name? I need to know who I'm talking to.
Duanas.
All right. I'm just looking at the spelling here on the screen. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not one of those teachers you're talking about, but I was going to call and say, oh, yeah, I was so disgusted with the Bradley Manning thing. While we've got a man that sits in jail because he has a souvenir picture on his cell phone that he didn't send to anybody. But what I call to say is I love the idea of a march on Washington in support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's always about protest, and I love the march in support. You got to know we need heavy security, and I can only come on spring break or summer because I teach school, but I'm not an organizer, but man, I'd like to be a part of that.
Yeah, that was a suggestion from our guest a few moments ago, Gary Bauer. And, you know, I think it's a great idea also, Duanas. It's needed. It's good to pray for Donald Trump and the administration, but also, to show it. And so I think that is a great suggestion. All right, let's go to Tennessee and Dalton. Dalton, good morning. Go ahead.
Morning, sir. Yeah, I'm just thinking that as much as I detest them, I don't want to be too judgmental on some of these Democrats because with the shoe on the other foot and Hillary was scheduled to come in, I'm not sure I would lay down peacefully for that. I think that we would pretty much be done. And I'd either be looking at becoming an expatriate, leaving the country, or whatever else was necessary.
Yeah, but Dalton, let's go back 8 years. A lot of conservatives were upset when Barack Obama was elected. But you did not see the kind of negativity, the kind of protests that we are now seeing with Donald Trump. And I mean, it was no secret what Barack Obama's agenda was, change the country, change the world. He told people over and over again. It was no secret that he was pro-abortion, that he was pro-homosexual marriage. But conservatives did not take to the streets, did not plan to wreak havoc. I don't remember more than 50 Republicans saying, we're not going to show up for the inauguration because we don't think Donald Trump or Barack Obama is a legitimate president. The conservatives weren't saying that. And I think that is the difference there, Dalton, is that conservatives, yes, they have a voice and they do speak up. But when you talk about the kinds of protests, the kinds of claims that the election wasn't legitimate, the kinds of claims and plans being made by these anarchists is just not happening. So there is a difference in the way people are reacting. And I think it speaks volumes of the attitudes of the worldview of the left. That's what you're seeing out there. Back to Texas and Jan. Jan, good morning. Go ahead.
Yes. Fred, my question to you is, if Barack Obama, since he is supporting a treasonous man like Bradley Manning,
mm-hmm.
treason and bribery are two rightful things a person can be, a president can be impeached for.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's on his way out as a president, you know, presidents, they get fundings for being a president.
Mm-hmm.
Could there be any stipulations there if he does carry through with acts of treason and does things that would be in his final, you know, few days that is detrimental to the welfare of our country? I mean, could there be penalties on his income that he gets as a former president?
Well, presidents, all presidents, whether the Republican or Democrat, have this right to issue pardons, issue commutations. That is the rule, and they've done it. But what is different about this president is the level he is taking this to. And in this particular case with Bradley Manning, who everyone would agree jeopardized the national security of this country by releasing these documents, 700,000 of them, to WikiLeaks, jeopardized the national security of this country. I think the only thing will happen is hopefully in the history books it will be noted that President Barack Obama, in his dying days of his presidency, apparently really didn't care about the national security of this country, because it's not an act that just has a past, what Bradley Manning did. As others have pointed out this morning, and there are Democrats who are worried about what Barack Obama did yesterday with Bradley Manning, this puts a chill out there to the people who are friendly to this country, who live in dangerous countries, who give us information that help in keeping our national security. This puts a chill out there that, hey, listen, maybe if there's someone else in the military who now says, well, you know, 3-4 years in prison, that's all I'll have to spend if I do these kinds of things. It puts a chill out there to these operatives in other countries that are friendly to us that maybe I better keep the information to myself, because there could be somebody else that's encouraged to do the same thing that Bradley Manning did because of get out of jail free card. And that's exactly what President Barack Obama did yesterday with Bradley Manning. Just a horrible, horrible move on his part. And I think we could speak volumes. Does Barack Obama really care about the national security of this country? As I said a few moments ago, I do believe it has something to do with Barack Obama trying to appease the transgender community because of Bradley Manning's decision a few years ago he said he wanted to be a woman, changed his name to Chelsea. I do believe that had something to do with what Barack Obama decided on yesterday. And there are more pardons coming today. He will have more pardons, more commutations than any other president in the history of this country. Absolutely incredible. Tommy in Arkansas, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'm a deplorable.
You're a deplorable. Congratulations.
Thank you. I've been praying for Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should. I think he should be in peace too, and I think we should. I think we should make it. What's it called? Can't think of the word.
A retroactive thing. I think, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. He's had 8 years in that office. He has done other things that many people feel are impeachable, and it didn't happen then. There just isn't the political will that's there. Regardless, what he did yesterday with regards to Bradley Manning, that is in the books. And he is going to be held accountable because, as we were just saying, it's not something just in the past. This has an ongoing impact, what Bradley Manning did with those documents and releasing them to WikiLeaks. All right, let's try to get one more call in at least. Anne in Tennessee, go ahead.
Yes, I was walking through the room and I saw Bradley on the TV. Did she have a uniform on?
During the court trial, yes, he was allowed to wear a uniform.
I don't understand what.
During the trial, he was allowed to. It was a military court, and he was allowed to wear a uniform at that time. And up until May, I understand he'll be in Leavenworth, which is a military prison. But somewhere along the way in May, he's going to be set free. And it's something that President-elect Donald Trump can do nothing about. That's just the way the things work. But jeopardizing our national security. As I say, President Barack Obama is going to have to wear that one for the rest of his life. All right, good to be with you. We'll keep reporting on activities going on in Washington, D.C. over the next couple of days. Sandy Rios will be back tomorrow, and will be talking to us on Friday live from the events there in Washington, D.C. Have yourself a great day, and stay tuned to American Family Radio for much more great programming, keeping you informed from a Christian perspective. Bye-bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.